Project Independence and You. I am Rebecca Miller. I'm the guest host today. I'm here along with my co-host, Jerry Peretzman, and we were speaking with Joanne Houston, who is with a program, Gym Guys, and she had given some information. If you need any further information, you can always call 311. Right now, we have a special guest today, Dr. Pat Bamba. Dr. Bamba is the medical director, geriatrics for Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield. And today we're going to be talking about National Healthcare Decisions Day, but I think also all about these types of decisions that we need to make that a lot of people don't want to talk about, are unprepared for, and maybe because they're kind of always deemed end-of-life type of choices and decisions to make. But really, it's all about planning.
It's absolutely all about planning, and this is a day that we want to encourage everyone 18 years of age and older to actually have a conversation with their family about what's important to them, what matters most, and to also think about who would make decisions if all of a sudden they weren't able to make decisions for themselves. I think it's important to think about it in those terms, because otherwise it's very difficult to think about your death and dying, and that's an important part to think about in terms of planning, but it's also about the inability to make decisions.
Right. So,
and I think it puts an unnecessary load on children who haven't been part of the discussion. I know my wife died several years ago, and we sat down with our two daughters and we kind of worked this all through so that when something untoward did happen to her, it wasn't a panic. Everyone understood where my wife wanted to have done for her. And we did it in a much more rational way and felt a lot more comfortable about it.
You're absolutely right. This is really not just about the forms that come at the end of the process, but it's really about a communication process. Similarly, in our family, we started our first discussion in 1983 at Thanksgiving, and that came after my mom said, I really want to do an advance directive, and I want to talk about what matters most to me. I want you to stand in my shoes if I'm not able to make my own decisions. And I said, that's terrific. I'm happy to do it. It's a big responsibility. Let's think about who are the backups. Say that we're in a car accident and both of us can't make decisions. And that gave us pause to think about who is the backup in that process. And we talked about which of the siblings would be able to do it. I'm the oldest of five. Mm-hmm. And the immediate choice that my mom had was sister number four, because she was watching her youngest granddaughter. And I said, Mom, you know, when you're dying, we're all going to struggle, but who won't be able to put two words together and be able to manage the decision making and talk to the rest of the family, and also be able to talk to the physicians and other medical professionals that'll be involved in the care? That's less than 30 seconds, but it helped my mom to recognize what a big responsibility it was. We went through and talked about who the backups would be, and my mom said, if we don't have that kind of discussion the way you talked about it, Jerry, she said, it'll be hard when the moment comes. And so we had our first discussion at that Thanksgiving. And so it is important, and it was tough the first time, but every year we did it, and it became much easier, because it's not about death and dying, it's about living. And when you appreciate that day will come someday, you enjoy every day.
Right. And one of the most interesting things, and I thought one of the insights we got from this, is that even though you may have all the written directives, the things that seem to fall in the cracks, and the discussions gave us a sense of how we would handle the things that we did not anticipate that, in fact, did fall through the cracks.
Right.
That we had a sense of where my wife wanted to go, and how she wanted to do things, and what we wanted to do. So when we had to make some very difficult decisions, we were prepared as possible to do that.
That's absolutely right on target, because I think so often people think about only certain life-sustaining treatments, or they're thinking about what would I want in the future. Nobody has a crystal ball. no one is able to say, this is what I would want if it's 20, 30 years down the road. If you're getting closer, it's a much more intense conversation, but all of it is driven by your values, what you believe, what matters most, and what matters most and what's important to you at 18 is not the same at 45 and certainly not 85. And who do you trust to stand in your shoes to make these kind of big decisions is not the same at 18 as it is at 85.
That's right. And
that's because we change over our life. Our values are enhanced. Our life experience comes into play. And, you know, people that we trusted may become sick themselves. They may have more strain. They may not be able to do this.
Where, you know, there's a lot of details that you have, certainly, when you're making these decisions and choices and who you want to be, maybe on your, you know, your healthcare proxy, your all the different things that come into play. I'm sure there are so many legal type of issues, and there's so much involved with planning. So it's lots and lots of details, and obviously some fall through the cracks because you can't ever plan for everything. Where do you keep all this information? I mean, we have a conversation. I have a conversation with my mother, with my father, and my brother, and we talk about these things. And, you know, but where is it kept? Where is it written? How do we refer to it?
So there's a couple things. Today we're talking about advanced care planning and how we're going to make decisions about health care. You're talking now more broadly about some financial decisions, some legal decisions. How are you going to make practical decisions, funeral planning? How will we organize our personal possessions? If you think of just one piece for advanced care planning, I can try to help simplify that process. Because if you're thinking about healthcare, making those decisions, there's two documents. Mm-hmm. The first is called a healthcare proxy. And it's really the important document because it says, this is who I trust to make decisions. If that person's unavailable, this is a backup or an alternate. This is what matters most to me. What matters most to me is being functional, to be independent. My values are because of my faith. Whatever that is, it's very personal. It's an individual choice. And to write that down and to have it a document that's signed, witnessed with two witnesses, and it has to be dated. It can be done with an attorney, but it doesn't need to be done with an attorney. And so having that available, having the conversation that we talked about ahead of time is important. Mm-hmm. Just doing a form is not enough. So you want to have the conversation. You also want to share it with your physician. You want to make sure that your physician has a copy. And if you have several chronic medical problems, you want all of your subspecialists to have it. If you have your agent and your family, who in the family needs to know? So your healthcare agent ought to have a copy, the alternate, family members, anyone that would be around if you had an emergency, so that everyone's on your page. Because at the end of the day, each of us gets one chance to die. Mm. And it's about what we want. And that I learned from one of my patients. I'm a geriatrician, and very early in my career, an 85-year-old said that to me. You know, she said, I'm here to tell you that everyone gets one chance. It's about what I want. And you need to be better equipped to be able to talk about it and listen to what I want, because you'll get your chance someday.
But you touch on a very important point, and that is, as time goes by, you should be sure that it's current. That, you know, you may well say that in 1995, I want my older daughter to do it. My older daughter would be living 10 miles away, almost 10 years later, she's living in Los Angeles. You've got to keep it up to date. And also your own wishes and interests may well change it as you get older. That, you know, that you may say, I really want, maybe your initial proxy was written during a period of despondency after the loss of a loved one. 5 years later, things change. You have a new outlook in life. You've got to keep it current.
You're absolutely right. That's why we looked at it once a year in our family and talked about our values. You hit the nail on the head. It's about how life changes and what our interests and our values, our life experience, and what matters most to us. In my practice, and I was in private practice for nearly two decades, we did it once a year when people came in for their physical or their annual GYN checkup. And if people weren't coming in for checkups, we just did it routinely and really brought it to their attention. So it has to be part of that process because it's not the same. I've started education in the community 20 years ago, and the first time I did a talk, I had a retired physician who sent me a handwritten note and said, this idea of looking regularly, I'd never thought of. I reviewed my healthcare proxy. My agent passed away. And so it's another point.
That's right.
You know, so you need to keep it current. You need to look at it on a regular basis. And talking about it doesn't make anything bad happen. It's really proactive. And what I always said to my patients, because I'm a geriatrician, took care of frail elders and their family, this is a gift to your family. It's a gift to yourself as well, because you can stay in control. And I think you've really talked about that well today, Jerry.
Let me ask you this very practical thing. Where can people get the proxy form?
That's a great question. So we have a website called compassionandsupport.org, and there's a whole booklet on this process that people can read. It's downloadable. They can get a hard copy if they want. The copies are right there on the website. The other piece is that sometimes people have, they travel, and they may be snowbirds, and they maybe have enough serious illness, and they spend half the year elsewhere. So we have a link to a website called caringinfo.org where you can get state-specific forms. So if you're just traveling, you know, just to go to see Disney World with your grandkids, you don't need it then if you're healthy. But if you're spending half of the year in some other state and you have serious illness, then you really ought to have a document that's in that state as well.
Okay, so we've got people living in the town that are 90s into their 100s, and some are not as savvy on the computer. Is there a number they could call? Is there another way to get this information other than a website?
Absolutely. We have, we're working on a project with the IPRO, which is the quality organization for Medicare, and we have a grant that's focused here in Suffolk and Nassau County, and we're trying to reach Medicare beneficiaries. So we do have a contact here. Her name is Carolyn Kasdan. There's an 800 number that people can call, 800-233-0360. Carolyn and I are partnering together to educate the community, do some clinician training for doctors, nurses, social workers, and also implement something called eMulse that we can talk about in the next session.
I think that we're coming up to a break. And okay. So maybe we can start this when we come back. You've been listening to Project Independence and You. We've been speaking with Dr. Pat Bamba, giving us some very, very important information on healthcare decisions. And we will be back along with our co-host, Jerry Pretzman.